Do you hunger? Do you hunger for God? We prescribe as a church fasting. And in fact, all of you who are faithful Orthodox Christians, if you're following the prescriptions of the church, you should not have eaten this morning. You should not have eaten since last night. As a way of preparing ourselves for the Holy Eucharist, we fast. And there are many other times in the church in which we fast. Of course, Great Lent being the greatest of those. But there is something to be said about hunger. The church understands that there is a spiritual connection here to physical hunger and the hunger that we should have for God, for Christ, to be able to feed on His body and His blood, to become by grace what God is by nature, divine. This is really the map of our salvation. But yeah, we come to Mass. We come not having eaten breakfast. And I know, even though I get used to not eating breakfast during Lent, I've always been a breakfast person. And so to skip breakfast means that I am hungry. I am hungry. I do like my breakfasts. But we consider this in light of the gospel reading this morning from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark and the miraculous feeding of the 4,000. Now, this is distinguished from the feeding of the 5,000, which we actually looked at from the Gospel of John back in during the season of Great Lent. During the feeding of the 5,000, of course, the difference being 1,000 men. There was 1,000 men less here in today's gospel, but it's in a different location. The feeding of the 5,000 occurred within Israel proper, whereas today's gospel lesson, if you were to read the context, Jesus is in the region of the Decapolis. That is what would be now modern-day Jordan. It was a region of the Gentiles just to the northeast of the Sea of Galilee, primarily a Gentile region. But just as happened with the feeding of the 5,000, they're out in the wilderness. They're not out in farmlands, in a place, a fertile area where they could possibly gather and garner their own food, their grains and fruits and olives, but rather they're in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness, and this crowd of people, 4,000, not counting women and children, have been with Jesus for 3 days. And Jesus, it tells us in the Gospel of Mark, had compassion for them because He knew they were hungry. Why did He know they were hungry? Well, yes, He is God. But probably because Jesus also, in His humanity, hungered. Just as He hungered following His baptism in the wilderness. Just as He was tempted by the enemy. And so he called His disciples and he asked them. He said, I have compassion on the multitude. They've been with me these 3 days. And if I send them away hungry, they're going to faint. They're not going to have the energy to even make it back home. And the disciples said, How is it that we can satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? And Jesus asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And this was also a difference in the feeding of the 5,000, in which the loaves were supplied, if you remember, by a young lad, a young boy, and the fishes. But evidently in this case, the disciples had their own small supply of food, and they responded to the Lord to have 7 loaves, and they also had a few small fishes. So He commanded them to sit down on the ground. And He took those 7 loaves, just as He did in the feeding of the 5,000, He gave thanks. The Eucharistic action of giving thanks. He broke them and set them before the people. And they ate. And from 7 loaves and a few small fishes, they ate until they were satisfied and gathered up not 12 baskets as with the feeding of the 5,000, but seven baskets of fragments. Jesus, in this miracle, provided above and beyond to overflowing the hunger that these people experienced, were satisfied by none other than Jesus. The hunger that we experience in fasting points us toward our fulfillment. Just as we travel through this wilderness of life, none of us here have been called to the monastic life, so we live what the church might call the secular life. That is, we live and work vocations in the world. We go to school. We don't live in a cloister community. But in a sense, it's a journey through the wilderness. There's nothing in this world, not money, not riches, fortune, or fame, that will satisfy our spiritual hunger. There is not all the accolades, not all the sex, not all the anything else that we can think of that the world looks at as trying to satisfy the itch will truly satisfy what we are really hungry for. You see, the world doesn't even realize its own hunger. But it is Jesus. It is Jesus who offers himself, who himself offers up the bread of life to heaven and blesses it and breaks it and distributes it. It is Jesus himself who satisfies those who are hungry. I want to remind you of what he taught in the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be what? Filled. They shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. While the world is looking for all kinds of material things and temporal things to satisfy, it is only Jesus himself. Jesus himself who will fulfill our true hunger. St. Augustine said that really there's two communions within the liturgy. It is the expounding of Scripture by which the celebrant, the priest, is opening up and breaking the bread of the Word of God. And then there is the communion of his body and blood in the Eucharist. Do you hunger? Today we commemorate one of the early virgin saints, Saint Christina. Not a whole lot is known about Saint Christina, about her life, except that it is reported that she was born to a very wealthy family in Tyre, which is now the country of Lebanon, north of Israel. Her father was the governor of Tyre. His name was Urbanus. This was the 3rd century, very early on. And her father, wanting this young woman to become a pagan priestess, shut her away in a room with servants and set before her gold and silver idols and instructed her to burn incense to these idols. In other words, to worship demons. And while she was locked away in the room, an angel visited her and instructed her on the Christian faith. She, never having known anything previously about Christianity. And she was so moved and convicted and came to faith, and the angel telling her that she would become a bride of Christ, that she would become a virgin, but that she would suffer many tortures and sufferings before receiving her final crown. And so she, under that conviction, tossed all the idols out the window, refusing to burn incense to them. And when her father came in and found out from the servants what had happened, he was so angry that he ordered her off to the torturers to be killed. And even though they tried to torture her in many different ways, through grilling, through tearing her flesh with hooks, and so forth, she survived until her father died, and his successor, then, having had enough of her, ordered her to be beheaded. And she finally received her crown of martyrdom. But her story doesn't end with her death. Some 1,000 years later, after her relics, and it's not really certain when, but her relics had been translated to Bassina, Italy, there was a cathedral that was erected over her relics. And there was a priest by the name of Father Peter from the area of Prague, Italy, who was on a pilgrimage to Rome. Father Peter had struggled in his faith, even as a priest in the Catholic Church. Father Peter had struggled with his belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. That is, that the body, that the bread actually becomes the immaculate body of Christ, that the wine actually becomes the precious blood of Christ, that Christ is indeed present. And he struggled. He struggled and asked, and during his journey, asked for assistance in his own unbelief. And he had the occasion to arrive at the cathedral of St. Christina in Bassina, and was able to say Mass there. And during the Mass at the institution, at the words of institution, as he held the priest host began to drip the blood of Christ down his hands and onto the corporal beneath. Probably what led to the West celebration of Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. St. Christina, 1,000 years later, was interceding on behalf of a priest who struggled to acknowledge the real presence of Christ in that act. Do you hunger? Do you hunger for Christ? Do you hunger for the bread of life? For a life of transformation? A life of giving ourselves away like St. Christina? Do you hunger for the glory of God and all that he offers? To be filled with the Spirit of Christ to overflowing. Let us seek him and his kingdom and his righteousness, that you and I may be truly filled. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.